Good evening, and welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren this evening. Good to have you here on this final night of our spiritual renewal services. Especially want to thank Brother Jim for being with us during these days and sharing the messages, and we look forward to the one this evening on the triumph of encouragement. As we come into this time of worship this evening, I want to share some words from the 63rd Psalm, the first four verses. O God, you are my God, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. Let's stand and sing, Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for the bonds of love we share within your church. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who has joined us together into one living body. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to walk together in unity of love and purpose, to help one another in deed and example, to live in faithful obedience to your will. By the love and mercy we show for one another, may your name be praised through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yeah. May be seated, and we look forward to some music from the bell choir. While the bell choir is coming down, just want to draw your attention to our closing hymn this evening. Yes, what's its title, Jim? My Life Flows On, thank you. It's maybe one that's not quite familiar, but it's an easy one to learn. So Jim and I know it, and we'll sing good and loud. And I think once you get to know it, it's one that you'll want to sing again. So I just wanted to let you know that before we get there. Right now, I'd like to invite the kids to come up. How are you all this evening? Good. Well, I want to check something this evening. I brought this little tape measure with me, and I want to try something. Isaiah, would you stand up?
Now, this is nothing official, okay? I was just curious. Oh, almost 4 feet. Hey, very good. How great.
We were about the same size as you guys, you either believe that or not.
Okay. Once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
Yeah.
But I want to share a story this evening, a little bit about a guy in the Bible. And the one thing that we seem to know about him is that he's short. Okay, he wasn't a very tall guy. In fact, he couldn't see over the crowd when Jesus was coming into town. And so he climbed up in a tree. Anybody know who I'm talking about?
Abby?
Close.
Zacchaeus. Yeah, Zacchaeus, okay? He climbed up in the tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus surprised him. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, I want you to come down because I'm going to go to your house today." Now, think about that. Somebody saying to you, "Hey, I'm going to come over to your house today." Okay, it kind of catches you by surprise, doesn't it? Okay. But Jesus said he was going to go to Zacchaeus' house, and they were going to have dinner and all that. Well, Zacchaeus, besides being short, he was what they called a tax collector. And he cheated people. He would charge them more than he should have charged them to kind of line his own pockets and make himself a little richer. But when Jesus said, "I'm coming to your house today," that kind of caught Zacchaeus by surprise. And we've been talking about encouragement. And it encouraged that the fact that Jesus was coming to his house and Jesus was going to talk, was actually talking to him, encouraged Zacchaeus to make things right. And he promised Jesus he was going to give back to all those people he cheated that money that he had taken from them. Four times as much. And that encouragement completely turned Zacchaeus' life around, and he became a follower of Jesus. And I think that that's the kind of encouragement that Jesus can bring into my life and your life. He can help us when, you know, we're tempted to do things wrong, possibly. Every one of us does that. And Jesus can be there with us saying, "Well, maybe you shouldn't do that," you know, in the back of your mind. So, and like Jesus encouraged Zacchaeus, I think he can encourage you as well, and me as well, everyone here. Let's have a prayer, okay? God, we thank you this evening for these children, and we thank you for stories like the story of Zacchaeus, where your encouragement caused him to change his life and follow Jesus. And we pray that these children will one day make that decision to follow Jesus too. And we lift them to you in his name. Amen. Thanks. Go back to mom.
Well, good evening. How are we doing tonight? You know, I was thinking this morning as I was just reviewing my sermon for tonight, I have another one at home if you want to have me back tomorrow night. No charge. It's on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my favorite passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Well, God has, thank you, brother, God has directed my paths here to Myerstown, about a half hour west of where I live. There's a pretty strong northwest wind picking up, and I think it's going to get me home maybe a minute earlier than usual. We'll see. But I want to thank you folks, what your brothers and sisters in Christ, what a wonderful time this has been. I've really enjoyed ministering to you through God's Word. The lady who gave me the pumpkin roll last night, who was that? Is she here? Man, oh man, was that good. And fortunately for me, my wife's on Weight Watchers, so I'm going to probably get about 95% of it. Is that cream cheese? Is that cream cheese in it? Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for your hospitality, for your loving kindness. Thank you. I'm impressed that the children have come each night and encourage them. Encourage the parents to keep bringing them. Well, like I said the other night, I believe that children are not just the future of the church, but they are a very vital part of the presence of the church. So, tonight we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 24. Isn't that nice of me to give you the longest passage the last night before I get out of here? Sermon notes on the back. Sermon notes on the back. If that's helpful for you, I encourage you to follow that. Let's look at God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 24. The other day, we started with the beginning of that passage. So, hear God's holy word. The Apostle Paul writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, that's a little stronger. Brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. No eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth in the Myerstown Church of the Brethren. But always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give what? Thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And then a little benediction. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, make you holy completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Let's pray together. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father, we give you thanks for this day, and I give you thanks for this congregation. I pray, Lord, that these sermons on encouragement will not only encourage them today and tonight and the days in the past, the near past, but in the future, and that they will in turn encourage each other and others more and more as they look to you to be their leader and their guide and their savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, I give credit to Warren Wiersbe, Bible commentator. He says that the Apostle Paul's favorite name for believers was, do you know what it was? Brethren. Brethren, yeah. He used it at least 60 times in his letters. Paul saw the local church, as the family of God nearly 2,000 years before Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote these words. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. Do you know it? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Pretty low. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Yeah, I tend to take things a little low. In tonight's scripture passage, the Apostle Paul names three essentials for a joyful, thriving church family. And I pray then for this church family here. The first one is leadership, found in verses 12 and 13. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. In other words, no competition. No competition. Accept your church leaders. They're God's gift to this church. They have spiritual authority from God, and we should accept them in Him. Now, here's the tricky part. As they follow Him, we must follow them. Okay? But there are times that church leaders have not followed Him, and then things get a little interesting. Letter B, appreciate your church leaders. Verse 12, it isn't easy to serve as any kind of spiritual leader. Amen? Boy, I was always more comfortable being a number two guy. When I was editor of the Juniata Sentinel weekly newspaper out in Mifflintown, I really enjoyed being the editor, not the publisher. And I did that for 10 years. But you know what? God doesn't always call us to do what's comfortable for us, does He? He takes us where we are, and then he nurtures us and grows us and makes us more able to do what we may have been uncomfortable doing. We must pray for our spiritual leaders. We must work with them, and we must, here's that word again, encourage them. Letter C, love your church leaders. For a pastor to be among you and over at the same time is tough. It is tough. It demands grace and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Letter D, follow, or number four, follow your church leaders. When God's servant, led by God's Holy Spirit, calls us to obey God's word, we must obey, but only if it's in obedience to God's word. The result will be peace and harmony, and that's found in verse 13. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves, you church, you peace church people, right? That's what we call ourselves, peace church people. Secondly, from verses 14 through 16, it's about partnership with some church family members who need help. And they may not always think they do, but they do. Verse 14a, help the unruly. And the unruly means careless or out of line. Paul addressed this issue again in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 11. Verse 14b, help the faint-hearted. Faint-hearted, according to Wiersbe, is people who are prone to quit. You know? They get down and they say, okay, that's it. I'm out. And we live in a culture of where everybody wants to be a winner, right? And so it's very important for us, and I'm saying for you in this church family, to help the faint-hearted, those who may be prone to want to quit. They need you to encourage them consistently and repeatedly, but I'm going to make up a word, but not naggedly. And that's tough. 14C, help the weak in faith. That's what that means, the weak in faith. We must give them our patient, reassuring love. Hang in there. Number four, this one's tough for me. My family would all tell you that when patience was handed out, I don't know where I was, but I didn't get a whole lot. I don't know if it's the drummer in me or what, but, you know, always pushing. I was taught to push tempos. Push those tempos. Stay on top of the beat. Well, we must be patient. And all the parents here, it takes patience to raise a family. Amen? Amen. Be patient with... What's that? Okay. It takes patience to raise a family. Be patient with each other. From verse 15, watch your motives. Make sure that your motives are pure. We must always serve lovingly and be ready to forgive. 16, be joyful. Philippians has a lot about joy, being joyful. Joy takes the burden out of service. Did you ever think about that? I got to admit to you, I retired at age 66, and I loved the Mooresville Church of the Brethren. I was there two times, 2 8-year pastorates. But meetings, I got meetinged out. Did you ever get meetinged out? That's what I confess to having happened. Otherwise, I'd probably pastor till I die. Yeah. So, joy takes the burden out of service. And family partnership, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God here. You need to sing that. I encourage you to sing that. Family partnership is vital to church health and growth. And then, the last part is quite a longer passage, worship, the most important activity of a church family. Verses 17 through 24. Verse 17, pray without what? Ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean go around mumbling words all the time, you know. But be in an attitude of prayer. Be in an attitude of prayer. That way you can pray without ceasing. Who knows what the shortest prayer in the world is? You know what it is? Help. Help. There's an illustration about that too, but I don't remember it all. Keep in touch with God. So your praying is part of a long conversation. I had a lady, my first pastorate was out in Newport in Perry County, or as they say out there, Perry County. And there was a widow lady who was originally from North Carolina, Lumberton. And I did a Brethren Disaster Relief project down there a couple of years ago. From Lumberton, Julia Fleury. And she used to say to me, she lived alone, she was a widow, and she didn't have a whole lot of family support, but she would say to me, Pastor, I'd say, yes, Julie. She'd say, is it a sin to fall asleep when you're praying? That lady used to pray for an hour every night. She had a list like 60 people long that she would pray for. And I said, no, Julia, just try, when you wake up, just try to remember where you left off. Yeah. Pray without ceasing. Keep in touch with God. So your praying is part of a long conversation. And that was Julia. Verse 18, praise God. Praise, excuse me, is a vital element of worship. As we grow in applying God's word, the Bible, we must grow in praising God. I think they go hand in hand. Apply God's word. Praise God. Be thankful. Psalms. I love the Psalms. Thank you, Dennis, for reading from the Psalms in your openings. Verses 19 through 21, study God's word. Study it. Don't just glance at it, but study it. Apart from God's word, we have no certain revelation from Him. God's holy, inerrant word. Unless we have spiritual truth, God's Holy Spirit is not at work. When I was at the Richland Church, I got to know John Klein. Most people around Myerstown knows, they know John Klein. And I think he still has the On Fire ministry. And I'll tell you what, that has changed a lot of lives, not only of the teenagers who attend the meetings, but also I think some of the families, some of the parents. So the fire of God's Holy Spirit must stay alive in our hearts. We must maintain devotion to Christ that motivates and energizes our lives. No Eeyores. There should be no Eeyores in the church. You know Eeyore? Yeah, from, help me out.
Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, no Eeyores at Myerstown Church of the Brethren. Amen? Amen. Okay. Yeah, we must also allow God's Holy Spirit to teach us His Word when we worship. And I really like that you put the words of the scripture up on the screen. So, to be a good family of God, pray without ceasing, praise God, study God's Word, and then the fourth part is live godly lives. And man, that's challenging. Verses 22 to 24. Worship should help us to become more like Christ in character and conduct. Somebody once said that character is what you are when you think no one is watching. When you have character. I don't know, Dennis, if you were involved, I was for a while, with Promise Keepers back in the 90s, yeah. And that was good. I wish that would have continued. I need it. Paul emphasized balance in Christian living. Verse 22, he started with the negative, abstain, stay away from all appearance of evil. But then he switched to the positive in verse 23, and the very God of peace will sanctify you, will set you apart for His holy work. So those two things. Sanctify means to set apart for God's exclusive use. Well, one illustration. In a village in, and I believe it's pronounced Chile, not Chile like I always say, water was nearly as valuable as precious metals. The region is dry, which forced the village to truck in fresh water over dirt roads from miles away. Think of that. The water was very expensive. Bathing was a luxury. It was like they were living in the 19th century, but they were in the latter part of the 20th century, probably the late 1990s. My book of illustrations is from the late 1990s. Then scientists experimented with a new system for obtaining water. The villagers down there in that little village in Chile now drink the freshest water they've ever tasted from high above atop a nearby mountain. And Chile is very mountainous. Workers hung on poles. Now see if you can picture this. A wall of finely woven nets, each the size of 8 queen-size bed sheets sewn together. Okay? They're on poles. It's a wall of finely woven nets, each the size of 8 queen-size bed sheets sewn together. It'd be pretty wide. 75 such nets sift the clouds up on that mountain that sweep in from the Pacific Ocean. A close look at those nets reveals fibers meshed into tiny triangles. Like dew collects on grass, we all know what that is, right? Dew on the grass. I come to the garden alone, right? While the dew is still on the roses. But I digress. Well, like dew collects on grass, minuscule water particles from fog collect on those fibers. 10,000 such water particles produce one drop of water. And yet, each net collects 40 gallons of water a day. The 75 nets sift a total of 3,000 gallons of water daily from clouds and fog. Wow. Well, let's apply it. Sometimes our lives may feel as dry as that Chilean village where only shrubs and cactus grow. What we need are spiritual water nets. Spiritual water nets. Few things will flood the reservoirs of our souls like being thankful. Give thanks with a grateful heart. That's one of my favorite praise courses. And continual encouragement creates thankful hearts in believers. And now I want to thank you so much for having me. I pray that you will experience the blessing of encouragement from Romans 1, 8 to 12. The power of encouragement from 1 Thessalonians 8 through 11. The necessity of encouragement from Colossians 2, 1 to 5. And the triumph of encouragement, what we read tonight, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 24. I pray that you'll experience that today, tomorrow, and in all the days to come. God bless you all. And all God's people said, amen. Okay. We're going to sing now, My Life Flows On. If you're able, let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
find the words to that hymn to be tremendously encouraging. My life flows on in endless song above earth's lamentation. I catch the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am his. How can I keep from singing? Thanks, Brother Jim, for your words this week. And Barb for helping us with the music, and everyone else who helped with music this week. It was a blessing for Kathy and I to reconnect with you and Margaret this week as well. Yes. And a blessing for Myerstown Church to have you here.
Thank you.
Yes.
Likewise.
Yes. And now to him who is by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God be with you till we meet again.